I think they're cooked. Yeah. I think there's too much. I think there's too much infighting. I think they lack inspiration from their head coach. You can just take a look at Evan Washburn's interview with Matt Eberflus coming out of the tunnel in the previous game. They said, "What did you say to your team?" He said, "Well, I told them the score, and I said they have each other." That sounds like a mom who's given up on a couple kids who have been really bad behavioral on the day, and she's like, "You know what? I'm checked out. You wait till your dad gets home. He's going to whip your ass." You know what? But there's no dad that's coming home from the Bears.
Correct.
That's what you got.
You're listening to a Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, Plumbing, and Electric Football Friday presented by your local Ford dealers in IDOT. It's not a game, Illinois.com. Welcome back. It's Mully and Haw. Chicago Sports Radio 670. The score. Mully is out today. That was a familiar voice of Kyle Long, a once proud Bear, wore number 75, was a tremendous Pro Bowl caliber Pro Bowler at right guard. Now he's doing a podcast that was from Pushing the Pile podcast. And he's saying that the Bears are cooked. He feels like the Bears are cooked. The evidence continues to mount. I am not going to make the case for the Bears turning their season around Sunday. I do think they win this football game. I do think they need to get physical, lean into that, and then lean into that some more. If I were at Hallis Hall in a role where I was either playing, coaching, administering, whatever, I would want to remind everybody in that locker room that this is a team, an opponent on Sunday, that their own coach called soft. Gerard Mayo called the Patriots soft. And for as many odd things and bad things and confusing things and meh things that have come out of the mouth of Matt Eberflus, he has never called his team soft. That's a low bar to clear, but Gerard Mayo did not clear it. This is a first-time head coach replacing Bill Belichick, and he called his team soft. You can't do that unless you're trying to deliver a message. I'm not sure they got it. I'm not sure you do that with a young team. Maybe. I don't know his methods. I don't know his madness. I don't know his rationale, but it was something that left a mark, and I look at that team, and the Bears have to prove it now. Be physical, run the football, remember how to tackle. Because of all the things that came out of the loss last week, the most indicting play was the long run before halftime where the Bears seemed disinterested in making a play. Oh, hell, you make the tackle. I'm not going to make the tackle. Me make the tackle? You make the tackle. He'll make the tackle, right? No. Touchdown. You can't do that. You've got to gang tackle. You've got to pursue with passion. You got to get to the ball in a bad mood. The Bears have to be in a bad mood Sunday. And if not, we're all going to be in bad moods Monday. And if they don't win the game, the Bears will be cooked. And Monday will be epic on the score. Can you imagine the Bears lose to the Patriots? Can you name two Patriot wide receivers? Without looking, no Googling, Brandon. 312-644-6767. I dare you to name two Patriot wide receivers. I don't think anybody can. Who are these guys? Drake May's throwing to strangers. Friends and relatives know who the Patriots roster are.
Randy Moss and Rob Gronkowski are playing.
No, they're not
here with Bill Belichick.
Deion Branch gone too. Yeah. Right. Nice try, Dustin. No, I think that Kendrick Bourne is one of them. Kayshawn Boutte. Boutte. Help. Javon Baker and Jalen Polk. That's a depth chart. Tyquan Thornton? Okay. Demario Douglas? Okay. This is not an offense that should scare you, especially if you're the Chicago Bears. I don't care who's hurt. I don't care who's playing. I don't care who's out. You are playing at home against the worst team in football. If they had the draft tomorrow, the New England Patriots with the number one overall pick would select. That's the way it would work. This team stinks. You need to get back on track. And the reason Kyle Long and everyone else is, the reason it has been open season on the Bears. Let's be honest here before we get out to the phone lines again. 312-644-6767. Isn't so much that we are manufacturing controversy on sports talk radio stations and the beat writers are stirring it up and everything is a manufactured controversy. No. The calls are coming from inside the house. This is an internal problem. You hear it in their voices in what they don't say as much as what they do. This is a team that, when you parse the language, spoken or body, both have been bad. This is a team that doesn't necessarily communicate well, they don't execute well, and they're not winning. What happened on the way back from London? Maybe we should ask Kyle Long that. Remember, the Bears imploded the last time they played in London. They didn't necessarily leave him home, but I think he left the team after that one. And then they came back and they were a different team that season. This year, they come back from London. Things were trending in the right direction. They had the bye week. You talk about tough opponents coming up on the Bears' schedule. The toughest opponent so far? The bye week. They lost somehow. The Bears are the only team in the NFL could lose during a bye week. They lost something. Mojo, momentum, a good vibe. They lost the bye week. Congratulations. I don't know how you rebound from that. And certainly they haven't yet. So Sunday, there's a lot riding on it because a lot of people think the Bears are cooked. Shaq is on the road listening to the Odyssey app. Shaq, welcome to Mullenhaw.
Yep, no problem. I would say they cooked. I feel like it's safe to say that the passing game has regressed and they actually look worse than last year. And I'm not giving them no points for whooping up on a team that's in the bottom of the barrel on defense. Like they went up against a Cardinals team and couldn't get the ball in the end zone. So from my perspective, they're cooked. They didn't fix the O-line. Caleb Williams is not Superman. They didn't address a lot of the problems in the offseason. For a slight moment, we thought Caleb could do it, but 8 weeks in, nah, he's not. So
Shaq,
they're cooked to me.
It's 8 weeks, Shaq. He's Caleb Williams. He's still going to be okay. 2 weeks ago, we weren't saying that. I respect where you're coming from, though. I understand things look bleak. Jerry's on the road. Jerry, welcome to Mullenhaw.
I agree with the last caller. We are cooked. We are not prepared due to our GM. He believed in Velus Jones. He was putting Velus Jones ahead of all of our running backs. And then he hires an offensive coordinator who wants to give the ball to a backup center. Khalil Herbert's happy to leave town. It's a complete mess. And if we get a good draft pick, he's going to draft not a quality lineman, but another lineman like himself that he's going to think he could mold like the kid from Yale. It's just a complete mess. Just an awful, awful mess. And everybody was crowning Caleb Williams as the next coming. And bottom line was, I think DJ Moore wishes he had Fields because at least he got the ball.
Thanks, Jerry. Appreciate the phone call. All right, 847 texts in. David, the Bears are cooked. Even if they beat New England, they still have six games against teams in their division. Even if the Bears' defense is good, there's no way the offense matches up for Detroit, Minnesota, or Green Bay. Not going to argue that, but they don't play those teams on Sunday. They play the worst team in football. 219, 30-year season ticket holder. If the Bears lose Sunday, you have to launch Eberflus. Another year of getting our butts kicked by the Packers. That hasn't happened yet either. You got to beat the Packers at least once. Another texter. 217, Bears aren't cooked, but they're in the basket of the deep fryer ready to go in the oil.
Love that analogy.
I can't really argue with that. Let's go back to the phone lines. John is in Joliet. John, welcome to the Score.
Hey, I think you guys are just looking at it all wrong. Okay. I mean, they lose this game to New England, and they're right back in the running for a number one draft pick.
No, John. That is not the way we're going to look at this anymore. That's so 2022. Year three of any head coach's regime. You should not be prospect worshiping. You should not be breaking down the NFL draft in November. You don't care about draft order. You want playoff contention. You should be looking at the wild card standings, not the draft order. No, John, you're looking at it all wrong. Come on, be more demanding. If you lose Sunday, you start talking about, if you lose Sunday, we're going to be talking on Monday about the next head coach of the Bears. Not because they will fire him in season, but because that will be the most likely scenario of this season, big picture-wise, if it isn't already. I'm not sure what he can do to save his job. There might be a number out there. It might be 9 victories. If you win more than you lose, Matt Eberflus could probably lay claim to that he's been overseeing progress. It depends on how you get to 9. It really does. Style points matter. You got to look like a team that knows what it's doing. Right now, the right hand and the left hand are not in sync. And there's a lack of communication. There's something going on. Something's not right. Something smells foul inside Hallis Hall, and it's not the laundry. Let's go back to the phone lines. Andy on the road. Andy, welcome to Mullane Haw.
Good morning, guys. I wish, you know, we talk about this week winning against an awful team. I mean, yeah, well, let's think about this. Let's just get everything back in order from the coaching staff. To we got some wide receivers running the right routes. I don't know, offensive line. How many years is all this going to take before we're just, you know, all concerned about winning against an awful team? Does it make a difference really anymore? How long is it really going to take before the Bears are contenders? Not playoffs. Super Bowl contender, like other teams you watch every year.
Great question.
This has been going on forever, since 85. I mean, guys, is this ever going to change?
Great question, Andy. I hear the frustration. This was supposed to be the year you took a step in that direction. This was supposed to be the draft that you did something that made you feel comfortable that one day soon they would be Super Bowl contenders again. It's been way, way too long. I totally agree. But I don't know if you're making progress if you lose to the worst team in football. And you can't claim you are if you lose to the Patriots on Sunday. So there's a lot riding on Sunday's outcome. 630, every time I hear Haw say cooked, I chuckle. Is David going to start referring to his flag and anthem as drip? Is that a reference to I'm not cool enough to say cooked? Kyle Long said cooked. I'm just repeating it.
I think they're cooked.
That's Kyle Long, not me. If the Bears lose Sunday, they are cooked. I don't think there's any debate over that. Dustin, heck, you guys want to pick on me? Dustin said in the 6 o'clock hour, if the Bears lose Sunday, it's like the rest of the season, whoop, they're losing out.
They won't win another game.
That's absurd. Come on, that's objectively absurd.
Why is that absurd?
Because.
How do you think that, again, and it also depends on how you lose that game. If they don't win on Sunday, they will not win another game. And I'm with that other caller. Then all of a sudden you start focusing on the 2025 draft and you figure out who's the best offensive tackle in this draft class.
I think the offensive tackle, the best one in this draft class is a relevant conversation because you might want to trade up to get him. I do not want you to be in a position to draft him. I don't think you want to be that bad. Dustin, if they lose on Sunday, they're still going to fall into another victory somewhere, right? The Vikings will stumble. The Packers, okay. I mean, I don't want to dismiss it summarily, but I think I don't want to agree with it either. I'm kind of in between. That seems absurd to me, actually. You're not going to lose. You're 4-4. They're not
4-13.
They're not 4-13. If they start to lose at that rate.
49ers got Christian McCaffrey back as well. They're still on the schedule, and they need to start winning.
Do we really know, is he coming back?
He's playing this Sunday.
Do we really know he's playing this Sunday?
I'm sure he'll be on a snap count, like a pitch count in baseball.
Really? I mean, it's Friday.
Really?
I know they said that. Do you really trust Christian McCaffrey to
be
anything but a commercial on Sunday?
You think social media was kind of crazy on Tuesday night? If Christian McCaffrey doesn't play on Sunday, fantasy football owners are going to go out of their minds.
I am very skeptical about Christian McCaffrey. I've been very disappointed this year, and I don't even have a fantasy football team. I just want him to play. I want him to stay healthy. I want him to be on the field as an NFL
fan. If he plays against the Bears, David, loss. Loser.
I love that you just held up an L to your forehead. Let's go back to the phone lines. Marcus is on the road. Marcus, welcome to Mullane Haw.
Hey, morning, David, man. I was calling to ask because it looks like Ryan Poles is looking like more like Ryan Pace as far as the investment on the offensive line. There's a former offensive lineman. How disappointed should we be in him not putting money in the line and getting all the guys that, you know, that are capable weapons but not investing in the trenches, man?
Marcus, right. That's a tremendous point. And that is the next level of conversation and scrutiny. I think there's just been so much to digest and to really, let's face it, criticize that has been warranted in the play calling, in the head coaching, in the quarterbacking. Maybe in that order, but I think that ultimately it's going to come back on Ryan Poles. You neglected the offensive line. Your two biggest offseason acquisitions on the offensive line, Ryan Bates and Kieran Amagaji, your veteran you traded for, and your third rounder you drafted out of Yale, pre-injured. This isn't a way to address a crisis. It's like throwing a bucket of water on a flaming building. You just didn't do enough. Get out the heavy fire hoses. This one needed some more attention. This was a crisis waiting to happen with the Bears offensive line. And now Sunday, they should win this game. I'm not going to be that guy. I'm not, the sky is falling. But Brad Biggs did paint a picture where the Bears could be without their two starting offensive tackles. And then you're looking at backups to backups being starters. And then you're looking at an offensive line, interior offensive line, that's already weak, relatively speaking. And you've got a franchise quarterback running for his life, again, forming bad habits and getting sacked at a rate that if this continues, I think it will be the sixth most number of sacks that a team has ever given up. Not good. How do you ruin a franchise quarterback? Well, let's check our Chicago Bears history for relevant examples. We've got too many of them, and they're on their way to doing it again. I am not as down on Caleb Williams as some people. I will, 847 texter, thank you. DH, honestly, you're not a little disappointed in Caleb Williams' progress so far? Come on, man, he's been bad. I am a little disappointed in Caleb Williams' progress so far. I want to be honest about that. I'm not as down on him as some people, and it's not just because I predicted that he would be the best Bears quarterback ever, or that he's a generational talent. Both those things can still be true. But he's off to a shaky start. Some of it is his own doing. He's not been accurate. Some of it is because he's formed bad habits because he's running for his life. He's running for his life. Keith is in Shorewood. Welcome to Moline Haw.
Well, first off, thank you for helping make my what I'm about to tell you more solid of opinion, because I'm betting the Pats this week in FanDuel for sure. For that reason that you just gave, which was great, and for the reason that the Bears lost their interior defensive lineman, and if I'm the Pats, I'm running on the Bears, and I'm running on the Bears, and I'm running on the Bears until the end. And I think that's exactly what they're going to do, and I think the Bears are going to lose this game. So that's what I was calling in.
Thanks, Keith. Appreciate the phone call. Not everybody's expecting the Bears to lose. Not everybody thinks the Bears are cooked like Kyle Long, do they? Anybody out there? Mike is listening on the Odyssey app. Mike, welcome to Moline Haw.
Hey, good morning, guys. To answer your question bluntly, do I think we're cooked? I think the oven is on, and I think we'll be cooked if we don't totally handle the Patriots. I mean, this is the get angry game. I said that about the Cardinals. We got to bump it out a week, but you know, my biggest concern is, you know, what everyone else is thinking. It's with Caleb fully bought in. You know, the hype was there. I'm still on the Caleb train, no doubt about it, but this is a systemic issue. I mean, my uncles and my dad, when we went to games in the 90s in the Wanstead era, hemming and hawing about the same thing, just presented in a different package. So, you know, I think this is a game where we really got to see some production out of Caleb, but then you point the finger and you look, how is he supposed to produce anything when he's got 280-pound, 300-pound linemen running
at
him in 1 second?
I hear you. Thanks for the phone call. I get it. I love your analogy about the stove. Did the Bears start to become really cooked when they plugged in the mini fridge? Can we use any more kitchen analogies?
The fail Mary is what cooked them.
The fail Mary did. Well,
the fail Mary cooked
them. Everything started with the handoff to Doug Kramer.
But they battled themselves back, right, David. Were they winning the game? Did they take the lead after the mini fridge messed up?
Okay,
or
okay.
Caleb Williams messed up, yeah, truth be told?
It's just everything.
Unplug the mini fridge.
Who's that ranting lunatic? Who's that clown?
It wasn't me for once.
Sky is falling. Who said that? All right. You know who is optimistic and enthusiastic and charismatic and all those things? Mark Grote. He joins us next on Mullen Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Mark Grote? Mark Grote? I go, yeah, no, it's actually Mark Grote. And he goes, no, no. He goes, you're Mark Grote.
This show is brought to you by 5-Hour Energy. Being a fan is a hands-on job, which is why we're freeing up your hands for cheering, jeering, and everything in between. With 5-Hour Energy Fan E-Pack, you'll be fully equipped to hit the tailgate with all the energy you and your fellow diehards need for rooting on the home team. No matter what, just take a shot past the rest to your entire squad and keep the good times rolling. Now available on 5hourenergy.com with the purchase of Stan the Fan 5-Hour Energy. Shipped nationwide.
It's Grody time, and that means it's time for Mark Grody with Mullen Haw.
Bears.
On 670 The Score.
Welcome back. It's Mullen Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Mullen is out today, but we are still finding the time for one of the best segments of this show every Friday. And Mark Grody, like all of our guests, joins us on the Aturo Hotline. Aturo, your all-weather tire, Aturo.com. Good morning, Mark. How are you?
Just thinking, it blows my mind. It's palm to the forehead. It's befuddling that the things that I was hearing from people yesterday when I was filling in for you and Haw, along with Ruthie Polinsky, your friend and mine.
I am Haw.
That, yeah, you Haw. This is Haw.
I am Haw. You're filling in for Mullen Haw.
Yeah. What did I say?
You said you and Haw.
Oh, me and Haw. Oh.
But we digress. Go ahead.
Yeah, boy, did I digress. Anyhow, what I'm hearing from people is run the football. Ready? Run the football and get the football to your tight end. And, hey, I know there's nuances to it, but that's the same breakdown that occurred with every single quarterback previous. I'm talking about the drafted ones. Mitch Trubisky, same thing. Came out flinging the football. Looks like we might have a guy here. No, stop it. You must run the ball more. You must be more conservative. You must take away half of the field. Justin Fields, same thing. Let him use his legs. He can't pass. Hand the ball off. Oh, you want us to do? Okay, we'll hand the ball. Luke Getsy is like, that Green Bay game, I always think of. Hand the ball off. And that's what they did for the entire game. Now we are at that point again with the Bears and this quarterback. I know it's different. I know it's a different quarterback. I know it's early. And I'm with you, by the way, Haw. I still think Caleb Williams is going to be great. Like, that is not dented for me. But we're at that point again,
well,
man.
Don't let it get there, because I think that's lazy. And I don't want to call people lazy. I think that's too easy to do. Let me put it that way. But I understand why people are going that direction, because of it's almost out of habit, Mark. It's almost like, well, this guy is not working out. He's been overhyped and he's underdelivered. So there must be ways to remedy this. And, oh, let's go back to our old ways and slice the field in half and make it easier for him. No, I think this. He's got to be better. But you also can do something schematically to run an NFL offense the way we were promised. This was supposed to be not necessarily the simplified version of everything that you want in an offense, but this was supposed to be something that was sophisticated enough to confuse defenses, because you had this quarterback with all the arm talent. Do that better.
Yeah, I agree with the part that, yeah, this is supposed to be sophisticated enough to confuse defenses. I think part of the conflict is with everybody, with Caleb Williams, with Shane Waldron, with just the powers that be, and let's just leave it at that for right now, and Caleb Williams, is that they want exactly what you want, what I want, what the fans listening want, and that is a representative downfield passing game. That's what Caleb Williams did in college. He got away with all the things that he's not necessarily getting away with right now because of the elevation and talent that he's dealing with. But that's what, when Shane Waldron, and all the criticisms are valid of him, Shane Waldron and his offensive staff, and Matt Eberflus as well, and I'll throw Ryan Poles in there, what they wanted to see out of this offense is passing down the field. Everybody wanted, what's the identity of this team going into the season? The identity of the team going into the season was those three wide receivers, Rome Odunze, Keenan Allen, and DJ Moore. So they wanted to make this, like, use those stars, and I think that That's part of why Cole Kmet has been left out of the party. Not that we know how talented and complete of a player he is, but when he is open there and for an outlet for Caleb Williams, he is. And we praise, like I was thinking about this during the preseason, one of his first throws where you had, I don't remember who the tight end was. I think it was maybe Gerald Everett in a preseason game, was like wide open for an easy, throw and catch on a third down. Instead, he throws it 10 yards to DJ Moore for the first down. And we all celebrated that. Mm-hmm. We all celebrated that moment. And I think it's ironic that we're talking about the tight end now. Celebrated that he, instead of taking the easy pass, he took the more daring pass and threw it, not that that's too far downfield, but took the more daring pass. So I think and we celebrated that moment. So I think in a microcosm, that's exactly what we wanted from Caleb Williams. That's what we wanted from Shane Waldron. Unfortunately, for reasons that I haven't completely figured out, it's not working out. Now, we know that there's culpability with the quarterback. Of course, he has been inaccurate in the last 2 weeks. He is missing passes that he should make. And some of them, there's not a great degree of room for error on some of the passes, like the back-to-back ones in the end zone to Rome Odunze and Keenan Allen. But if he is that quarterback, he should be expected to make those plays. But I think it's my long-winded way, David, of saying they have done the things like that I want to see done ultimately with this offense, but for whatever reason, it's just not working at the moment.
All right, based on that long-winded answer and what you have heard this week from long-winded coaches, what do you expect Sunday, given that the Bears need to win this? We've talked a lot about the offense and the chemistry and the play calling, and they're going to be doing this without Andrew Billings.
I expect a slog out there. I think it's going to be I do think the Bears are going to win. I do. It's going to be a 16-13 Bears win out there. The Bears have every reason in the world to be motivated. I got to imagine that the defensive meetings, when they were watching the film, they were probably ugly. I don't know if Eric Washington is a yeller, but if there was ever a time to be yelling and motivating his guys, it was that. So I do think the defense will be obviously better based on the score that I just gave you, but I don't expect the offense to be revved up this week. And I'm just looking at these, David, if I may, not to make this answer long-winded as well, but some of the numbers offensively between the Bears and New England are way too similar. Quickly, total yards, New England 32nd, the Bears 28th. Passing yards, New England is 32nd. The Bears are 30th. Rushing yards, New England 24th. Bears 23rd. New England on third down is 25th. The Bears are 31st. Fourth down, because that's important nowadays, New England is 6th. The Bears are 10th. And time of possession, that is being dominated relative to the Bears by New England, 25th to the Bears 16th. So I mention that because we keep talking about how bad New England is and how this is the team that you can beat, and they're 2-7, and if the year were to end today, they'd have the first pick. Well, guess what? Those numbers, and the Bears' defensive numbers way better than New England's, but that scares me a little when I see those numbers.
All right, we have quickly two questions.
Oh, boy,
Number one,
I'd be quick today, Dave.
Without looking at your depth chart that the Bears provided you, can you name two wide receivers from the Patriots?
Oh, my God. I can give you Kendrick Bourne.
Okay.
Can I give you? Does that count?
Yes.
Of course that counts. The one I was going to ask if it counts, if I may, does Hunter Henry count? Did you say wide receivers?
Well, he's a tight end, but he's kind of used as a wide receiver.
He's a receiver.
Yeah,
so,
he's a receiver. All right.
And Billy Johnson, is he still a receiver?
Billy White Shoes Johnson, I think he retired years ago.
I just made up a name. Ramondre Stevenson catches passes for them.
Yes, he's a receiver. He's a running back.
I know the valuable players on their offense.
I use that almost as mocking the point that Drake May should not outplay Caleb Williams. He's not throwing to receivers of any who are established. So I think that's a good point. Next question.
Quick.
Who gets gets more targets on Sunday? Cole Kmet or Doug Kramer?
Oh, my God. Look, I said this earlier. Doug Kramer will never get another target as long as he is in a Bears uniform and Shane Waldron is running the Bears. He will never, ever, 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 ever touch the football again with the Bears, because if he does and it goes bad, you can just march all the offensive staff and Matt Eberflus into a car that will take them to the fired village.
All right, final word, Grody. You heard Kyle Long. He said it on the Pushing the Pile podcast. The Bears are cooked. I ask you, Mark Grody, are the Bears cooked?
Is the definition of cooked that they're just going to like lose out? What does that mean?
I thought you were cool enough to understand that. I don't know.
No, I understand cooked. I am cool enough. I am cool enough, first of all, to know what cooked means. But does that is that they are like, they're going to have the number one pick at the end of the season? Maybe relative to the NFL, winning. I don't know what cooked
They're
means.
Done winning and being competitive. And then Matt Eberflus, as a result, will be out.
No. There's no way, because this team is just, and this may ultimately may annoy people, because at this point it's rough, hard for me to think that they're going to make the playoffs. But this team is just talented enough that they will eventually be a middling team. The game under 500, a game over 500. If it was still a 16 game season, I'd probably say this is a 500 team. This team it's too good of a defense. There's still too much talent on offense. They're kind of like the Bulls in a way, if Zach LaVine ever returns, that they're just good enough that the bottom's not going to drop out. The Bears are not going to have a top five pick. I mean, you just have to, and you have to think about this team too, that although they have been bad, they do care. Like, this team cares. We've seen Bears teams and sports teams in this town that once the bottom falls out, they really don't care. I think there is enough evidence from all the guys you've heard from in the Bears locker room that I've talked to, or guys that you have talked to, Haw, on the radio, that they care enough. So, no. Kyle Long is wrong.
Great stuff, Grody. We will see you on Sunday.
I got some more things to say. No, I'm just kidding, Haw. Have a great day, brother.
All right. Mark Grody, see you, man of all seasons. Here at the Score, wearing a lot of different hats and wearing them all very well. And Sunday, the game is at Soldier Field, but you can join the Score at Circus Sports Illinois at Jarrett Payton's flagship on the Fox in St. Charles. Be there for the pregame show. Mully, Olin Kreutz, and Patrick Manley will be the hosts, 9 to noon, and then immediate reaction on the postgame show after Chicago takes on New England. This Sunday, flagship on the Fox in St. Charles, sponsored by Circus Sports Illinois, sports betting the way it should be. When we come back, Mike Paul will join us here on the Mully and Haw Show, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
I don't care if the sun don't shine. I do my drinking in the evening time when I'm in Las Vegas.
Welcome back. It's Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Mully out today. We're having a lot of fun. Talking Bears, talking a little bit of everything, and now talking to our guy out in Vegas. Mike Palm is the Vice President of Operations for the D, Golden Gate, and Circa. And like all of our guests, he's brought to you by Aturo, your all-weather tire, Aturo.com. Good morning, Mike. How are you?
How are you doing, David? Where's Mully taking his daughter to school now or so? I mean, what?
No, he's
I call in every time he's off.
A little under the weather, but he did get a preview. Maybe he had something to do with it. I don't know, Mike, but I doubt it. He had a ton of respect for you. You guys have a lot in common. So, yeah, it's how are things out there?
Well, things are terrific. I mean, the book was packed last night. Obviously, it was one of the best Thursday night games of the year, best matchups. The game lived up to the hype. It was incredible. You had, a Thursday night in the NHL. The NHL has become a three-day league, right? Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday,
yep.
The majority of the games. But it was a terrific night of hockey as well. You got college basketball underway. Had some Sun Belt football gearing up for a big weekend here. So things are terrific.
It is a big weekend there, because this afternoon from 2 to 6, Spiegel and Holmes broadcast live from Circa Resort and Casinos Stadium Swim out in Vegas. Special guests. They'll talk football throughout the day, right here on the Score in the Odyssey app. And Mike, I have to ask you this, with Spiegel and Holmes out there, I understand that you had a little bit of a gift from our boss, Mitch Rosen. Where will you wear that Pat Hughes sweater?
The Pat Hughes sweater is going to come in very handy in the mornings here, because we're down into the 40s in the morning. So, I mean, by mid-afternoon, a little toasty, because we're getting up into the 70s. It's perfect out there in the afternoons right now. You don't have to deal with the heat. It was an honor. I thank Mitch Rosen for bringing it. You know, Pat and Ron were so gracious when we came in the summer and let us hang out in the booth for an inning and a half, and it was really terrific. David, I just want to say I'm sorry. I mean, you guys, it's pretty tough time to be in Chicago there, isn't it?
It is definitely a difficult year in a difficult stretch. It's one season after another. We were talking earlier, Dustin, our producer, Dustin Rose, we were lamenting earlier in the show. You look around and you see last night on Thursday Night Football, you see stars, bona fide stars doing what they do. Every team, it seems, in Chicago lacks that star power, and we don't have anybody that you latch onto. It might be Caleb Williams. It might be Connor Bedard. It might be. But right now, there is no definite star in the city.
Yeah, it's tough. And look, I mean, the debacle in the last minute of the game in Washington, I think, spilled over into Arizona. And now you've got a must-win situation coming up against the Patriots team. By the way, Drake Mays looked pretty good. Nobody wants to talk about that. He's playing behind a horrible offensive line. You know, the wind on Sunday at Soldier Field may help the Bears, because New England, outside of that first game against Cincinnati, has not been able to rush the football. Rush the football at all. And then, you know, I feel bad for Mrazek and Soderblom. I mean, you go out there every night, you know, you cannot give up three goals, and you know, most nights you can't give up two. So that really puts them in a tough spot. The Bulls might be a year away from being a year away. Everybody hopes somebody buys the White Sox. The Cubs season was disappointing. I mean, I was thinking about what's the city got going for it. And I said, well, they still have Mother Macaulay Volleyball. They lost to Maris yesterday. So, boy, it's tough time.
You're really going deep in the weeds there. I was not aware of that upset. That's really good research by you, Mike Palm. Joined by Mike Palm, who was the Vice President of Operations for the D, Golden Gate, and Circa here on The Score. All right, let's look at this Bears game. The line has moved because of maybe the uncertainty surrounding the Bears, because of all the things that make this such a hard team to figure out. How do you see Sunday's game at Soldier Field?
You know, what's really interesting for us at Circa is that in Survivor this week, you have to take a hard look at the Bears, right? There's, you know, team, you don't want to use, or do you? Do you want to use the Eagles? I mean, it is a divisional game still, as bad as Dallas has been. The obvious choice might be the Chargers at home playing the Broncos. But, you know, the Bears' schedule, we all said the first 10 games is where they have to make hay, because once they get into their divisional schedule, if you haven't used the Bears yet, I mean, if you lose this game, it's pretty much over. You know, if you follow the live odds of Bears to make the playoffs, when they score the touchdown with 26 seconds left in Washington, you know, their odds to make the playoffs, you had to lay $1.80 to win 100, they're -180 to make the playoffs. And here we sit a game and 30 seconds later, and now they're 4-1 to make the playoffs. I mean, that's how much this changed. I think they should be able to beat this team, but I don't know, because that loss to Washington, it seemed like everybody had held us all. I mean, I'm talking about the players wanted to stand up and have something to say about the coaching staff, which behind closed doors is perfectly fine. And the decision-making was mind-numbing. I mean, you're running a backup guard with the hands of a guard and all taped up when you got about six other options at the goal line. When you have first and goal with 31 seconds, you have two jobs. Make Washington use their last timeout and score the touchdown. They didn't make them use the timeout. Washington is dumb enough to return the kick and take 6 seconds off the clock. And Eberflus is still standing here and telling you that the play to McCorn for 12 yards didn't make any difference. It's like they're incapable of learning. Then you go to Phoenix. I mean, DJ Moore, so I twisted my ankle. I mean, he walks off the play. There's still 7 seconds left in the play. You give up the longest rush. You give up the longest rushing touchdown in the last 20 seconds of a first half since the merger. I mean, I never heard the term merger in 20 years, let alone using it for statistics. I mean, they run a draw play from their own 47 with 15 seconds left, and you let them get to the end zone. You know, and then all the signs, even more talking about his relationship with Caleb and, well, Steele wasn't a first-year quarterback. And then they're talking, well, we need – maybe it's just more reps. I mean, it's all – they're all bad warning signs around this team, right? And Eberflus, who's responsible for the defense, that's where the majority of the breakdowns have occurred. So when you take a look at this in Survivor, it's pretty dicey. But if you have to use 20 teams because we had those holiday weeks, I mean, you could save the Bears and say, do they turn their season around? And I want to use them against the Seahawks on December 26th because that's part of Christmas. But there's certainly a big look there in Survivor. I just don't know how toxic the atmosphere is around the Bears right now.
It's not great. It sounds like it's been a losing season. They're only 4-4, but it has been everything you described, and it may not get any better because they have to win on Sunday. Mike Palm, thanks for your time this morning. Have fun wearing that Pat Hughes sweater around Circa.
Hey, thanks, Dave. We'll talk to you soon.
That's Mike Palm, the Vice President of Operations for the D, Golden Gate, and Circa out in Las Vegas, where the Spiegel & Holmes show will broadcast live today at Circa Resort & Casino Stadium Swim from 2-6. Didn't have to ask him about the Notre Dame-Florida State game. He is a Notre Dame graduate, and I think that's going to be one of those games where you look at style points more than the scoreboard points, even though Notre Dame, huge favorites. I cannot remember a time when these two teams played that the disparity was this great. This is not 1993, the game of the century. This isn't even some of the games of recent memory. Florida State is like, this is a team that is not resembling a team from a Power 5 conference. They should be better than they are. And Notre Dame should take care of business. If they don't, Notre Dame could win this game conceivably, Dustin, and drop in the standings. I don't think they will, but I think that is possible. They have to look good after the bye week, and I think they will take care of business. All right, when we come back, we've got a lot of show left. John Heyman from the MLB Network is in studio. He'll join us next right here on Mullen Hall, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
This show is brought to you by 5-Hour Energy. Being a fan is a hands-on job, which is why we're freeing up your hands for cheering, jeering, and everything in between. With 5-Hour Energy Fan E-Pack, you'll be fully equipped to hit the tailgate with all the energy you and your fellow diehards need for rooting on the home team. No matter what, just take a shot past the rest to your entire squad and keep the good times rolling. Now available on 5hourenergy.com with the purchase of Stan the Fan 5-Hour Energy. Shipped nationwide.